We've been talking about the Benjamin generation, the last generation. I ended last week and gave you a little bit of a preview of what I'm about to do here this morning. And I'm very, very pumped about this message today. It is a powerful revelation I believe that God is releasing all over the earth today. We're very excited to be part of it. But Benjamin generation, we left you last week that, remember, Joseph is a type of the Savior of the world, and Benjamin is a type of the last day Christian, or the Christian that is blessed. He's the number five, and everything's about five with Benjamin, which means he's nothing but grace, grace, grace. And I thank God that we're all under the grace of God. Amen. I'm very excited about that. And that how that Benjamin set all the brothers, actually put them all in prison. And he said, go bring Benjamin to me, and I'm not going to do anything, entertain you any way, shape, or form until Benjamin comes. This is very exciting, because when Benjamin appeared, the very first thing that Joseph did, the first proclamation was, he said, serve the bread. Now, there is an incredible revelation here we're going to talk about today. So I really want you to get your, you know, kind of your old religious thinking and put that on the back shelf today. And because we all come from different backgrounds, and we all have preconceived ideas of what we think maybe the Word of God says. Today, I'm going to give you 23 scriptures on the screen, 23 of them. Lest you say the pastor doesn't preach out of the Word of God there. 23 of them. Not a scripture and then preach on a scripture. We're going to teach on 23 scriptures today. And that is, if you got time, I'm here till about 3 p.m. Is that all right? Okay, just checking to make sure. I'm just playing with you. Not going to happen. And then at the end of this service, we are going to have a Holy Communion service. It is a very important, because for two reasons. One, people are going to be born again today. You're going to get saved today because you're going to get a revelation of Jesus and who He is and what He did for you. But also, I believe today you're going to receive a dynamic physical healing in your body today. Some of you are suffering with chronic sicknesses, chronic illnesses. We've learned to live with them over the years. And I, for one, am just really tired of living with a curse. Somebody help me out. We're going to rise above it today. Look at somebody and say, I know that's true. It's going to happen today, so we're very excited about that. So we have to get ready for His end time blessing, because it is the time of the feast. It's time to feast on the good things of God. Now, I'm going to preach a little bit on the Holy Communion thing. And I emphasize the word holy, because I think that we've kind of put it on the shelf as almost ritualistic. I know that in our charismatic circles, we've done that a lot. We want to make sure that we don't do that anymore. That is a very powerful truth that I certainly have come into in the past couple of months, and I'm very, very pumped about it. But right after, in my opinion, right after being saved from hell, eternal fire and damnation, which is a good thing. Somebody say, that's a good thing. Now, if that's all you got from God, that'd be good. That'd be good, right? Go to heaven forever and ever after this old crummy old life is over with and you barely make it through, that, you know, you don't have to go to hell. Say, hey, isn't that good? Even though you got a crummy life here, you're going to have bliss on the other side. Well, that's good news. There's nothing wrong with that. But right after being saved from eternal hell and fire and damnation and all of that, divine health, without a doubt, is the greatest blessing that we have. There's no doubt about it. Now, I want to share that with you. I want you to get this by your spirit today. But the Bible says, we're going to begin with this scripture because I want you to know where it's coming from. But in Acts 10:38, this is a very powerful scripture. And it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing what? Good. Went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, I believe with all my heart that most of the miracles that Jesus did, as you read the scripture, you're going to find out, most of them deal with the area of divine healing. Almost the vast majority of them deal with divine healing. So he must have thought it was very, very important. And I believe as you read scripture, you see without a doubt that his nature is to heal. His nature is to heal. It's in him. He cannot do anything but heal. That's what he does. Now, he didn't walk on the water all the time. How many know that? He didn't do that. although that's an outstanding miracle, and we certainly love to preach about that, but he did not walk on the water all the time. In fact, if you look at Scripture, according to Scripture, he walked in the water one time, and that's all but one time. But he did, without question, heal all the time. Now get that. He healed all the time. Now, let's look at Israel for just a brief moment, because Israel, back when they were in bondage in Egypt, y'all remember the story, when they left Egypt, they were completely healed. It's a powerful thought. It's God's will for all to be healed, all to be healthy, and all to be whole. That is the will of the Lord. He wants you to be absolutely in perfect condition all the days of your life. Now, by condition, as you were here last week, I don't mean by your working out and getting the six-pack and all of that kind of thing going on. Because all of you cannot look like me. What are y'all laughing at? Is that obvious? I have you know there is a six-pack underneath this keg. I promise you, it's there. When my wife goes to slap me, I tense up, I can feel it. I went to have liposuction one time. The doctor says, we can't do that. I said, why not? He said, because you've got a hard stomach. And I said, oh, okay, well, I don't need to be in here anymore then. Didn't that mean abs or whatever? Yeah, of course it did. But anyway, I want you to know that it's okay to do that, but we're going to talk about a entirely different thing today. Now, it is God's will to heal you. Look at somebody and say, I believe that. I'm going to make you a believer today, all right? Then, if that is true, then why are so many of us sick? Why are so many Christians sick? Now, I'm talking this morning about life-threatening diseases. I am not talking to you about a headache that you can take an aspirin and relieve the pain of that. I'm not talking about, little aches and pains that you may have, in your back that maybe you slept on it the wrong way, or your neck, you slept the wrong way and you got a crick in your neck and all that. Listen, chiropractors can help that, and you can take certain, natural medications to help the joints and all that. I'm talking about life-threatening diseases. Diseases that will take the quality of life that God wants you to have and destroy it and make you walk through this life in misery all the days of your life. We want to rise above that today. Starting today, we want a brand new revelation released in our hearts so we can walk in this power and this victory that God has given us in the name of Jesus. Amen? So, I want an answer from God's Word. I want God's answer. We watched a little movie last night that was just a silly movie, but I like the actor, Jeff Daniels, and I thought, Jeff Daniels is a pretty good actor. So I picked up the movie we watched. It's called The Answer Man. Anybody ever seen The Answer Man? Well, glory to God. Now, there'll be a flood of the day, and I'll be out of it for weeks. But anyway, called The Answer Man. And supposedly, he had an encounter with God, and he wrote the book, God, Me and God, and he wrote the book called Me and God, and about all of the questions he had for God. And he would ask these questions of God, and then God would give him the answer, supposedly. Of course, it wound up in the end result. You realize that it was kind of a scam almost, because he wrote down what he felt he had, but it wasn't really an encounter with God at all. Of course, we know that. But anyway, he thought he had the answers. I want to have the answers, and I want God's answer to come directly from His Word. Amen? I'm not interested in your experience. I'm not interested in my experience. I'm interested in what the Word of God has to say on this subject, and only the Word of God. So you may tune everything out and get ready for God's Word. Now, the Bible gives only one. Say one. This is very important. The Bible gives only one reason that Christians are sick and die prematurely. Only one. You can't listen to me. I've looked at this thing upside down, inside and out. When I say Bible, I'm talking about New Testament. You understand that? In the Old Covenant, you could die just by bringing the wrong animal to the priest. But I'm talking about under the New Covenant, born again Christians, people that love God, are saved by the blood of Jesus, are sick and die prematurely. I'm talking about those kinds of people. The Bible gives us one reason. that you are sick, and only one reason. And it has nothing to do with your sin. I want you to pay very close attention about this. It's very important you get this, because we've been brought up, all of us have, with all kinds of religion and churches we've gone to. I know when I went to church, the Church of God back in the day, my God, if you took the wafer or the juice with any sin on you at all, you just liable not make it out the back door. How many are raised like that? You take it unworthily, you aren't going to make it, buddy. I mean, damnation you're drinking to your soul, right? And the Bible does say that, so we have to figure out what he's talking about, right? So the Bible says, and we're going to go this verse a couple different times throughout this teaching, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 29 and 30, this is Paul writing this revelation. This is Jesus actually speaking. Paul's writing it. He said, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Look at this. "For this reason." Do you see that? "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." That's not a siesta time. That's death. That's eternal sleep. So he's talking about here one reason. "For this reason," not reasons, but one. Do you see that? Only one. "For this reason." Now watch very carefully, because it means they did not know why they were partaking of the body when they came to the table of the Lord. They did not know. This is very critically important. Now, I don't know about you, but I know in my past, there's many times I've taken communion way back as a youngster, and then later on as a young adult. You take communion and you really don't know what you're doing. But the whole concept really back in that day was kind of like, if I take communion, then I'm going to be forgiven of my sin. Am I talking to anybody? And so you get clean by taking communion. Do you know that in the Catholic Church, and I'm not speaking against the Catholic Church. In fact, I think they've probably got a little more handle on this than even the Charismatic Church does. And we need to not go quite as far as they do, but get away from where we are right now and kind of meet in the middle somewhere. We want to talk about that. But in the Catholic Church, that you are taught to come forward during communion. My wife was Catholic, and she drugged me to the Catholic Church, praise the Lord. I mean, really drugged me to the church. But we went to church, and then she would want to do her communion, but she couldn't do communion because she was married to me and I was a heathen. Boy, the guilt you put on me. I mean, the condemnation my wife put on me. Shame on her. Say, shame on her. No, sit down, baby, sit down. Now, you look too good. I ain't letting you go. Anyway, ain't got time to train nobody else. Too old. Hallelujah. Glory. All the men shouted amen. No men shouting amen. I like you, Pastor, but I don't like you that much. I ain't saying that. No. All right. Now, so she would go for communion, and she would, you know, you'd line up, you'd go for communion, which is a good thing. And they would put the wafer into your mouth, right? I don't know what they said at that point. I wasn't a Catholic, so I don't know. But what it? I got a lot of Catholics in here. I am not even going to tell this story at all. I'm good. Lord Jesus, let's talk about the Lutherans for a minute. All right. How many Lutherans we have in here today? Only one. Praise the Lord. I'm just playing. But seriously. You would go forward and they would, what, body of Christ, is what they said? The body of Christ, and would give it to you, right? Put it in your mouth and you would go your way, right? Where was the wine? No. You didn't partake of it. You only got the body. Where? What? Not the church I went to. Oh, they do it now. Back in the day. See what I mean? They're getting better all the time. I knew that. But back in the day, you come forward, you get that way, and that's you just make your circle, go sit back down. You didn't get no juice or no wine or nothing. In fact, when I went to Catholic Church, I wanted wine. I said to my wife, "Where's the wine?" "Honey, they don't really give you wine." "Well, I'm out of here. I'm going to the Baptist church. They believe in drinking on Saturday." Come on, Baptist, shout me out a little bit. But they give you part of it, but not all of it. And that's my point. I want to bring your attention as we go through this, okay? Now, this is very, very important. Now, for this reason. Now, how many believe that all truth is parallel? Which means that if it says one thing here that you're going to get damnation for, then there has to be a flip side where you can get blessing from. It's all parallel. That means if we do discern then the Lord's body, we will walk in health and wholeness. Now look what he says. He said, this reason, what reason? Not discerning the Lord's body. When you don't discern the Lord's body, that's why you get sick, that's why you get disease, and that's why you die prematurely. There is no doubt in my mind that every child of God can live to a ripe old age, but not just live old and decrepit, but live in health and wholeness all the days of your life. Amen. You've got to believe that's what the Bible says. And so therefore, this one reason is not discerning the Lord's body, which means then if I discern His body, then I'll be healthy. I'll be whole. I will not die. That's what that scripture says. Now, if this is the number one reason that Christians are sick and dying, then we should, don't you think, study that scripture like no other scripture in the Bible. Don't you think? For that reason you're sick, for that reason you're dying, for that reason you die prematurely, you're weak, you're anemic, you don't have what you need from God. For that reason, then we need to study that scripture and find out how we can overcome it, right? So most people in the body of Christ has chosen, and I mentioned a little bit last week, has chosen to focus on food and exercise as the key to living a healthy life. Most Christians do that today. I've never seen such a shift in that in the past 20 years like anything in my entire life. It's amazing to me. Let me say to you right up front, it is okay to eat right. It is good to eat good things. It is good to put some vegetables in your body. It's good. It's okay to walk and exercise. There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay, you know, to drink proper things. Drink lots of liquid, lots of water. Nothing wrong with that. Now, you're not going to find perfect food to eat because it doesn't exist. It came out of the cursed ground. Doesn't exist. Or you're not going to get perfect water to drink because it came out of the cursed ground. Everything's been cursed. So therefore, if you're looking for something to get that will automatically bring a healing in your body through that area, you're not going to find it. Right. Now, here's the key, folks. It's okay to do these things, to exercise, to eat properly, and all those kind of things. And it'll kind of, what it does, it the only thing that it actually does, it doesn't heal you. It can't heal you. It has no healing power in it at all. But what it does is it puts the devil at bay, and he's not so easily accessible in your brain to make you think that somehow you're missing it and going to be sick and dying because you're not eating the right things or you have too much weight on your body or whatever the case may be. And therefore, you're going to die because you're not healthy in that sense. The truth of it is, that is a lie from the pits of hell. Jesus came to redeem every child of God who would believe what He said. And the only prerequisite that we have as people of God is to discern His body. If you discern His body, period. Not if you discern His body and you're overweight. Not if you discern His body and you eat the wrong thing. Not if you discern His body and drink the wrong thing. But if you discern His body, for that reason, you can be whole. You can be healthy. You can be happy all the days of your life. Now, if you get in this mode of thinking, I got too much weight on me, therefore I'm not going to be healed, you have just bought the lie. You bought the lie. Because God would be a respecter of persons and like you more than He likes me. And that's not the way God operates. God wants to heal everybody who comes to Him, and He gave us a way for us to do it. In fact, it's the most powerful way I've ever seen in my life. Now, I said last week, let me say it again because of those who weren't here. But, you know, we have all kinds of diets in the world, right? There's a zillion diets out there. I mean, a zillion diets. And you don't know which one to choose. So a guy came up with the idea, I know what we'll do. We'll write a book on the Bible diet. We'll eat Bible food. We'll call it the Mediterranean diet. It's Bible food. It's what Jesus ate. And that's what kept Jesus healthy. Well, Jesus walked everywhere. That's what kept Jesus healthy. Right? He walked and he ate Mediterranean food. Therefore, Jesus was healthy. And all those who will eat Mediterranean food and walk like Jesus did, you will be healthy too. Do you see a little bit of a twisting of the truth there? A little bit, maybe? All right, the Mediterranean diet. Go to the bookstore. You can find Mediterranean diets are everywhere. So, Mediterranean diet. I submit to you that nearly everyone that needed to be healed and that Jesus healed was on the Mediterranean diet. Right. Well, that was a different day, brother, before they put all the chemicals in the earth and all that. God knew that. When you start adding to that, well, this is the end times and we're lit and the ground is saturated with chemicals, and of course the devil wants you to get to buy into that. And it's true, by the way, but that's why we bless it. Unless you're a millionaire, you can't eat the proper foods anyway. You can't afford it. That means every poor person is going to die because you can't afford the same food that the rich guy eats. All we have to do is bless it. That's all we got to do. Bless it. Somebody say, bless it. Bless it. All right, got to bless it, all right? Now, so eat well and exercise. Yes, those are good things. But never, never trust in your feeble human efforts. Ever. My trust must be in God to keep me healthy. It has to be. God has ordained, there's no question in my mind, the Holy Communion as a key channel of health and wholeness for His people. No doubt. The early church believed this. They believed it with all their hearts. I found this scripture and thought I was going to fall in the floor. I got so happy. Are you ready? I mean, how many believe the early church knew what they were doing? They believed it. Now watch this. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. I love this scripture. And they, this is the Christians, watch, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. When I saw that, I almost fell in the floor. Now watch what it says. And they, the Christians, the early Christians, the first church, they continued steadfastly. That's the only time that word is used in the New Testament, the word steadfastly in the Greek. Only time. It means faithfulness in the outgoings of Christian life. Literally, faithfulness in the outgoings of Christian life. So they were faithful in their outgoing lifestyle. In other words, it came out of them. It came out of them. Now watch. And they continued letting it come out of them in four areas. Four areas. Now watch. Running a mile every day. Oh, I'm sorry. Eating a Mediterranean diet. Taking drugs. Gee, I don't see any of that up there. What is up there, though? Let's look at this. The apostles' doctrine. What's the apostles' doctrine? It's the word of revelation that Peter received from Jesus, or from the Father about Jesus. Oh, how do you know? Now watch. Who do men say that I am? You could be prophets, could be somebody. No, who do you say that I am? Peter, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Because you got the revelation from my Father. And on that revelation, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Are you with me? Now watch this. So they continued steadfastly, or an outflowing of what was already in them on a consistent basis, the word of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That's the first thing. Christians don't know who He is. Well, He's a Savior. Oh, okay. Well, He's a Lord. Oh, okay. Let's find out who He really is. Now watch. So they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Fellowship. Now watch this. These are major four, the only four major doctrines in the early church. Today we've got books written on doctrinal issues, and really there's only four. They're very, very simple. The first one is the revelation of the apostles' doctrine, and the apostles' doctrine is that Jesus Christ is the anointed one. And on that revelation, he said he would build his church, and if he builds his church on that revelation, then the gates of hell, where comes sickness and disease, shall not prevail against it. We're just barely scratching this. Now watch. Apostles' doctrine and fellowship. What is fellowship? Fellowship is church. It's church. They had church. People say, I want to be... No, the rebellious person says, I want to be like the early church. They didn't have any bosses back then. They had no structure, no structurized church. Are you kidding me? Fellowship. Church. Jesus said, I will build my what?
Church.
There it is. And if he builds his church and you fellowship inside of his church, you will not be sick. Now watch very carefully. Let's jump. And in prayer. How many believe in that? Well, okay. Then the doctrines are to continue steadfastly in the Word of God and in church. Word of God and church and prayer. I never saw this before. In the breaking of bread. Oh, that means that we go from house to house and we just eat pies and food and we just had parties and we just ate. You know what? Christians today, that's how we fellowship, is we get around food. And we call that fellowship. Oh, I'm going to challenge you today. They continued steadfastly in the revelation of the apostles' doctrine that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. And upon that revelation, Jesus said, the devil, the enemy, the gates of hell shall not prevail with their sickness or their disease against my church. Watch. And they continued in that. It was an outflowing of them. And they understood fellowship, gathering together. They understood prayer. And they understood the breaking of bread. Now, if it was just food, it would not be the breaking of bread. There has to be the breaking of bread to create the communion atmosphere. So they not only continued in the Word, in fellowship, church, in prayer, but also they continued steadfastly with the outgrowing, outcropping of their own spirit every single day of their life, communion. They instituted the Holy Communion every single day of their life. Now watch. They made a big deal out of the things that God made a big deal out of. These are a big deal with God. God said, these are important to me. This is how I will sustain my church. We can't win a world when we're sick and dying prematurely. God knows that. So He instituted four doctrines. The Word, fellowship, church, prayer, and communion. That's what He instituted. They knew that. The early church understood that, and they walked in it. Remember that. It was faithfulness in the outgoings of their Christian life. It was a consistent thing with them. They never stopped it all the days of their lives. And I challenge you. Oh, I challenge you. Read the book of Acts. Find anybody who's a child of God who knew that revelation that was sick even one time. Not in there. We've got to find the answers from where? God's Word. Not experience, but God's Word. Now watch. Acts 2:43 and verse 46. I'll read these two. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. How are wonders and signs done? They're done through the communion service. Now watch this. Go on to verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, look at this, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. House to house. What we ought to be doing, they continued daily in the temple And then they would go from house to house breaking bread. How do you keep sick people well? You go to their home. You break communion. I'm going to show you at the end of this message a tremendous revelation and how that God wants to reveal Jesus, and how He reveals Jesus according to Scripture is by the breaking of bread or by the communion service. The reason we are not walking in health and wholeness and happiness and all that kind of thing, because we don't have an understanding, revelation of who Jesus really is. Catch this, all right? Here we go. The devil attacks this truth. He hates this truth. He always pushes people to extremes. If the devil is going to attack a truth, he's going to push you one way over here or one way over here. He doesn't want you to find the truth. He'll push you to extremes. Now, by that I mean this. I'm going to give you a brand new word today. On one side are those who believe in transubstantiation. It's a big word. That's what I said. I just want to see if you're listening. Transubstantiation. And what it means is this. It means literally where the bread and the wine actually turn into the body and the blood of Jesus. That's the extreme over here. We know that is not true. We know that what I'm going to drink at the end of the service and what I'm going to eat at the end of the service does not turn into the actual body and the actual blood of Jesus. That's an extreme. So he pushes people religiously way over here to an extreme. Because if you believe that, then it's like, man, there is no way on earth am I touching that. Because my thoughts aren't even pure. All right, that's extreme. The other extreme is where you and I and most of the Christian world is in. And the other side is mere ritual. So one or the other. So it's a passion in my heart, and has been for weeks really, for every single believer in the kingdom of God, all of you, to receive everything that Jesus suffered on and before the cross for you. Whatever Jesus paid for, it is a passion in my heart that you grab it and you don't suffer with it anymore. That you receive what He did for you. That's why you don't suffer with your sin. He took care of it. But you don't suffer with your sickness because He took care of that as well. These are very powerful principles, all right? So the Holy Communion can literally add years to your life. Years. Maybe decades to your life. 1 Corinthians 11, 29-30 again. Watch this. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, or many are dead. Notice Paul said it was not a failure to discern the blood. It's the body. There is no Christian that doesn't understand the blood. Because if you don't understand the blood, then you're not a Christian. You're religious, but you're not a Christian. But when you understand the blood, you are a Christian. That's what makes you a Christian, is you, when you receive the blood of Jesus Christ, cover your sins, wash your sins away. That's just elementary. So he didn't say that it was a failure to discern the Lord's blood. It's a failure to discern the Lord's body. And the reason is because the blood is forgiveness. We know that. Colossians 1:14 says that very clearly. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. It says the same things in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Same scripture. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So we know that the blood is for forgiveness. But the bread is for healing. Healing. Now the bread is His body. We talked about that last week. And is for my healing. Now watch this story that I found last week. I love this story. Mark chapter 7, 26 through 29. Look at this story. The woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by birth. She kept asking Him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Let me stop right there for a second. Show me in Scripture where anybody had to ask Jesus more than one time. They asked, they received. That's it. But not this one. This woman kept asking Him. Have you ever been in a position in your life where you keep asking the Lord? What you need is revelation, not keep asking. Now watch. But Jesus said to her, let the little children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. I love this story. And she answered and said to him, I mean, what a bold woman, man. I mean, she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Let me give you a watch this. Jesus did not walk around as God, knowing all things all the time. He didn't. He walked just as you walk, in all points tempted just like you, yet without sin. That means he didn't know everything all the time. That would have been unfair. So he chose to take on humanity in a way to where he had to walk it like he expected you to walk it, which you couldn't do, but he did. And he's walking this thing out. He did not have the answer that this woman was about to give him. It took him by surprise. Yes, Lord, even little dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, I love this, for this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter. Now, this is very important. What does the bread refer to? It refers to the healing that she was asking for. A couple of things. What are dogs? How many Jews do we have in the house today of your Jewish descent? One? Any Jewish descent in the house today? Really? Let's go get the Jews and bring them in here. Praise the Lord. I love them. All right, one. So then everybody but my sister over there, point the finger at yourself. Okay, point your finger at yourself. Say, I am a dog. Because a dog is a Gentile. She's a Greek Gentile. Syrophoenician by birth. She's a Gentile. So what was Jesus saying? He was saying that healing was only for God's covenant people. So the covenant they were under was still the old covenant because Jesus had not died and given his blood or took the stripes on his back for their healing yet. So what he was doing was showing them what the Father's heart was under the covenant. Are you with me? So she was not under the covenant. She was a Gentile. She was not under covenant. Now you and I today, look, point your finger yourself again. Say, scratch that last phrase. I'm not a dog. I'm a covenant person. Say, I'm a covenant person. So you're under the covenant right now, aren't you? All right, now you're under the covenant. This is so cool because Jesus said later on, I love this story because here's this woman. I mean, you know, Jesus called it children's bread. He called healing children's bread. The woman says, yeah, but I mean, how about the crumbs? I can pick up the crumbs. He said, hey, for that saying, go your way. Your daughter's okay. She's going to be just fine. Jesus said later on, remember, we'll talk about it, take, eat, this is my body. They knew what he meant, the early disciples. They knew what he meant. He was giving them, this is so critically important to get this, don't let anything distract you right now. When Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body at the Last Supper, take, eat, this is my body. What he was giving them was his life. He was giving them his health. He was giving them his wholeness. Now, newsflash. He was never sick. Not a day. Never. Jesus never was sick. He was vibrant, full of life, and full of health. And he gave it to them by the communion. Jesus never sinned. He was perfect. Never missed it. Not even one moment of one day. The only reason Jesus was healthy and whole was not because he walked everywhere he went and he ate a special diet. Jesus was healthy and whole because he never sinned. Therefore, the effects of the curse could not come upon him. The only way he became cursed and the effects of the curse came upon him was by what you did and by your sickness and by your disease that he received in his body on the cross. Other than that, he was perfectly healthy and whole every single moment of every single day of his life. He never had a bad day. He never had a pain in his body. Because sin is where it all comes from. He didn't have any sin. Therefore, he didn't have any pain. He didn't have any sickness. He didn't have any disease at all. So, when he said, "Take, eat, this is my body," they were looking at Jesus knowing for 3.5 years, this man has never had a bad day. He's never been sick. He's never had a pain. He's never complained. He's full of life because everything that touched him got healed. Every time he walked in, everything, life came because he was flooded with life because he was perfect in every single way. So when he said, "Take, eat, this is my body," they knew what he meant. I'm going to ingest him into me. I'm going to have his health in my body. I'm going to have his blessedness in my body. I'm going to have his holiness in my body. I'm going to ingest him into my body. They understood that. But today, it's a ritual. And then we have to get right before we take communion. Well, go on. Now watch. Remember the one with the issue of blood? Issue of blood. If she is sick for years and years and years, spent all of her money, she's broke, busted, and disgusted. Can't get lower than she is. He sees Jesus. I found it very interesting that she said within herself, "If I could just touch his clothes, I shall be made well. If I can just touch his clothes, I shall be made well." I preached this 100 times or more in my life, I'm sure. But his body was so filled with life, so filled with light that even his clothes were soaked and saturated with his health. And she must have known that because Luke 6:19 gives us a record of they knew it, obviously. It says, "And a whole multitude," that means all of them, "sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all." He was so full of life that if you just got near him, you were affected by his life. So, church, the problem then, if we're sick and we're diseased and we're dying prematurely, then that means that we are not touching him. So we have to have a way to touch him. There has to be a touching or a revelation. There has to be a knowing that I'm touching Jesus and touching him. Then there is so saturated with healing that it flows right into me automatically. Jesus did not know the woman was even there who touched me. For he felt power go from him. Everywhere he went, they were touching him. And those who touched him, every single time they touched him, the Bible says that the healing or the life of God just flowed right into them. And they were like, "My God, I'm healed." But they touched him. Now, this is where preachers at this point will start preaching to you and start saying, "You got to touch the Lord today. Come on, somebody, touch the Lord today. Stand to your feet and touch the Lord Jesus Christ." And we're like, okay. How? I'm going to show you how. That's the difference in a preacher and a teacher. All right, you ready? Now watch. So when you take the bread, that ingests health into your body. Let me say that again. Critical. When you take the bread, you're going to take it in a few minutes. When you take the bread, you are ingesting health into your body. Not a ritual. Doesn't turn into something. Ooh. No. When you're taking the bread, I'm going to show you something. It's a powerful revelation. It's so simple. I've never seen it. But when you take the bread, you're ingesting into your body health. Because he's health. He's never sick. You can't partake of Him and get sick, because He doesn't have sickness to give you. You can't partake of Him and be condemned. He doesn't have that to give you. When you partake of Him, you ingest Him into your body. Every night on my patio, I say, Lord, this is Your body. This is Your blood. I'm ingesting life into my body. And the symptoms that I'm feeling in my body, I visualize in Your body. Because You can't give me something that You don't have. What You do have, You can give me. Remember Peter and the man who lay there crippled? Give me some money. Silver and gold. We don't have it. Didn't mean he didn't have any money. They had money. They were fishermen. They owned a fleet of ships. I don't have any silver and gold. What I do have, what I'm able to do, what I'm able to impart to you, I give you. Rise and be healed. What were they continuing in? Apostles' doctrine, fellowship, prayer, communion. He was able to give it away. So Jesus said, take, eat, this is My body, and when you take the bread, you're ingesting His health. Not yours, not just health, but His health. Because He was never sick, not a day. You took His health into your body. Now watch this very quickly. You did bring a prop today, right? There's no prop up here? Couldn't find it? Okay. Matzah bread. Matzah bread, my dear? Matzah bread. Matzah bread is what they would take for the Passover. They still take for the Passover. Matzah bread is unleavened, it is baked, it is pierced, and it is striped. Very interesting. Unleavened bread. Leaven is a type of sin in the New Testament. We know that. So Jesus never sinned. So therefore it's unleavened bread. No sin. It was baked or under the wrath of God. Jesus under the wrath of God. And then it was pierced. How many know He's pierced? With our sorrows. And He was striped for our healing. So the bread. Now this is a double cure in Holy Communion. Always a double cure. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Surely He has borne our griefs, sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, which is sins. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. And then Matthew 8:17 verifies that out, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So it's sickness and disease. Sin and sickness. Now, there's a story that Jesus mentioned in Luke 22. In fact, He said something in Luke 22, verses 15 through 20. He said on the Last Supper, He said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And He took the cup and He gave thanks. And He said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Look what He said. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And He took the bread, and He gave thanks, and He broke it. And He said to them, saying, this is My body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Likewise, He also took the cup after supper. This cup is a new covenant in My blood which is shed for you. Now, when you look at that scripture, it has a powerful significance to us. Very powerful. Because the Passover is a type of the Lord's Supper. You go back to the book of Exodus. And you go back there in Exodus 12 and verse 13, you have a word from God for the children of Israel. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you, and I will strike the land of Egypt. And He said in verse 8 of the same chapter, 12 and verse 8, then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread, with bitter herbs, and they shall eat it. You see that? So they were covered by the blood, the first Passover. forgiven sins. And then they ate the flesh of this animal, type of Jesus. They ate that flesh. And as they ate that flesh, they were protected. And the very next morning, they all left Egypt. We don't know, 2.5 to 6 million. How many know? There was millions of people. They left Egypt the next day, and the Bible is very clear. There was not one feeble person among them. Not one. We're talking the blood of animals. We're talking the flesh of animals. We're talking typology. We're talking symbols. We're not talking the real deal. But yet, nobody was sick. Not even one. But in the church today, we make all kinds of excuses why we are sick. I'm too heavy. I eat bad food. I don't exercise enough. I don't take vitamins. I don't do the right thing. I don't pray hard enough. I don't do enough. And on it goes. We begin to condemn ourselves. Self-condemnation. None of that's in the Bible, but we put it on ourselves. Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. Look what they left. This is amazing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases. He forgives you and he heals you. A dual blessing miracle in communion. You get it all in communion. Now, I'm just about done. Hang on. Forgiveness and healing. Two things that every Christian is craving to get. Just craving to get. We're begging God to be forgiven. You already are. We're begging God to be healed. You already are. And they go hand in hand. When you believe and rightly discern the Lord's body, you begin to experience miraculous healing in your body when you partake of the Holy Communion. 1 Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You're proclaiming. Your proclamation is, I'm eating his flesh, I'm drinking his blood, and I'm proclaiming that until he comes. That means every day. Who are you proclaiming it to? You're proclaiming it to yourself. I proclaim in my body. My body, when it's healthy and whole, is proclaiming that I discern the body of Jesus. When I'm walking without guilt and condemnation, and I'm in the grace of God, and I know that, and I walk in that realm, then I am proclaiming the blood of Jesus. I proclaim his body. I proclaim his blood when I partake of his flesh and his blood. Now watch. Colossians 2:15 is something Jesus did for you already, which is very powerful. It says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus took care of every problem you're ever going to have. Somebody say amen. Now, who gives you communion? You have to call the preacher to come over to your house to give you communion because that's how it's done, right? Well, if you think that, call Pastor Don, call Pastor Tim, call Pastor. Are you with me? Don't call me. But you don't need that. 1 Peter 2:9 says this. This is very good. He said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. All of you. You're a holy nation, by the way. You're also his own special people, by the way. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Look at that scripture there. You are chosen, you are royal, you are holy, and you are special. I don't know about you, but chosen, royal, holy, special people are not sick people. They're special people. You know what the word special means? It means purchased. You are purchased people. You've been purchased. He owns you. He bought you with his body, with his blood. You never have to be sick. I know this is hard to swallow, but never a day in your life. I watch. It's very, very. How do I die then? Are you worried about dying? Is that the biggest question you have for God? What about dying then, Lord? How do I die? Think about it. Waste all our time wondering how we're going to die. Well, my grandfather, you know, and my granddad, you know, my dad, you know, I'm here, you know, whatever, you know. Are you hearing me, Don? You hear me, man of God? You are not going to die. You're going to live and proclaim the goodness of God. We're not under that mess. My dad died when he was 59 years old. That was his problem. It's not my problem. Are you all here? All right. How often? As often as you need to do it. 1 Corinthians 11:27-29. Let's read it again. Whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. How many ever read that before and thought, oh man, I've got to be careful. I don't drink in an unworthy manner. I've got to be careful. Watch. Now watch. But let a man examine himself. Oh, that's right. I've got to examine myself. Oh, I've got to check. Lord, what is there between me and you? What did I do, Lord? What is it? What is it? What is it? What is it? All right. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup, for he eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now watch. Break it down for you very quickly. Unworthily. Unworthy. What the word says. Unworthy. I looked it up in the Vines Dictionary. All right? Nothing mystical about this. It means treating it as a common meal, the bread and the cup as common things. So when you are partaking of the Lord as a common thing, then you are taking it unworthily. Are you with me?
Yes.
So then the key is to figure out why you're taking this, right? So let us examine ourselves. That's what it says. What does that mean? That means to see if you are eating and drinking in a worthy manner. You are not judging yourself. You are or examining yourself to see whether you are in Christ or not, or whether you're sinful or not. You are examining yourself to see if you are taking the cup and bread in an unworthy manner. Not unworthily, but an unworthy manner. Because if you do, you drink judgment, which means when you don't really discern the Lord's body, you speed up the aging process. Think about that for a while. When you are not discerning His body, you are speeding up the aging process. And I'm just about finished. Now watch this. This is the coolest part of it all. And it was so simple, I've never saw it. Are you ready? Kind of late. You all want to go home? Do you want this? Are you sure? All right. Adam fell, didn't he? How did Adam fall? He ate food. And that simple act of eating, this is so powerful, brought disease and death to the human race. Simple act of eating brought disease, sickness, pain, suffering into the human race, right down to us. So why not, God, ordain that a simple act of eating a crumb would bring health and wholeness to His people? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
It's like, it was right there all the time. Think about it. What? That dirty Adam, he ate the apple. What was the big deal? But the simple act of eating brought sickness, death, condemnation, and all the other ugly things in the human race. But the simple act of eating that Jesus instituted on the very night He was betrayed, He said, the most important thing I'm about to show you right now is, one, serve each other, and secondly, to make sure that you do this in remembrance of Me as many times or as often as you do it. Never forget My body, never forget My blood. Because when you ingest My body, you're ingesting My health. When you ingest My blood, you're ingesting My perfectness in your body. Never forget it. He instituted that. So what Satan brought in through eating, Jesus broke the curse through eating. And every single time we take communion, we're just simply eating His flesh, drinking His blood. God ordained that. That's what makes 3 John 2 now come alive. Beloved, I wish above everything that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. that makes that scripture come alive to me. I was sitting out taking communion last night. I was on my back deck. And I said, God, I can't wait. This is such a powerful revelation to people that have chronic problems in their body. They can be healed. The Lord dropped the story in my spirit. And I went in. And I looked it up and found it. And I just printed it off very quickly. Printed the scriptures off so I can read it to you. I never saw it quite this way. In Luke 24, 28 to 35. You won't see it on the screen because I didn't give it to John this morning. But the Emmaus disciples. Then they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would not go any further. Jesus would not go any further. But they constrained, or he would go on further, rather. But Jesus, they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's toward the evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. And it came to pass that he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened. They knew him. They were so excited, and Jesus vanished from their sight. They ran back and told Simon and everybody else back in Jerusalem. Verse 35 says, and they told about the things that happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. The Lord said to me, he said, the Emmaus disciples could not see me until I gave them communion. When they took communion, when they ate my body, when they drank my blood, their eyes were opened and they knew who I was. Today, the Church of Jesus Christ, Greg, today the Church of Jesus Christ is in a position where we're sick and we're needy. And God instituted, through the Son of God, on the very last night on this earth, this is what you do. And if you do this, by the way, you're only sick for one reason. One reason. Not a bunch, but one reason. That you don't discern His body. So the idea is to discern His body. And Jesus said, instituted and said, look, if you eat this, drink this, you're drinking my life into you. The early church knew that. They were never sick. Never sick. All through the book of Acts, read it. It's amazing. Amazing how God kept millions of people through this communion service healthy and whole. Shocking to me. But today we're looking at eating right, drinking right, exercising. And it's okay to do it. But it is not your healing at all. Ushers, begin to pass out the communion. And hold on to it for just a moment before you do it. Don't do anything with it, okay? This is so critically important. So critically important. Thank you. How often do you, with chronic problems in your body, how often should you take communion? Just take it and keep listening to me, folks. How often should you do it? I recommend, if you've got a real problem in your body, that you partake of this every day of your life. There are people that, until you see your manifestation, which you will see your manifestation, it will come. But there are people that even need to take it more than a day. Once a day. They should take it 2 times, 3 times, like a medication. People that are really dying from a cancer or some problem, they should take this 3 times a day. Not just this, but understanding, discerning who Jesus is, what He did for you. And when you partake of this in a moment, you are partaking of His health. You are partaking of His pureness. Of His wholeness, of His perfectness in your body. Much more than what we've been taught in the past, isn't it? Much, much deeper than that. We begin to train this church. Starting next Sunday, we're going to have communion set up on the platform or across the platform every Sunday service. If you feel so led during the worship service, you can walk up, you can partake of communion by yourself. When you come for prayer, we're going to give you communion along with prayer. We believe in this. We believe that God wants to bring a revolution into His church. This is the last generation, and the last generation is going to be the healthiest generation that ever lived on planet Earth. Because of one simple thing, the very simple act of eating, God does a miracle. Only God can do that. Incredible to me. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." That's why when you use, this is not the real deal, but I tried to find some real stuff. Almost impossible to find. We're going to try to find and order it so we can have the real matzah up here. You can see it for yourself. It's incredible. I want to do it the Bible way. I really do. But when you eat something like this, you hear this sound in your mouth, this crunch, crack, this breaking. This is my body, broken for you. Jesus took every disease you ever had in your body or ever will have. He took it all. Every sickness. The earth is running in fear with pandemics and epidemics, and there's no answer for any of it. They create an atmosphere of fear about H1N1 and then don't even give you the virus for it or the serum for it. What is that all about? You think that it saw that coming. You don't put your trust in that. You put your trust in what Jesus did for you. Set your children down tonight. Say, "Jesus died for you. This is His body and this is His blood." And you partake with your children. You watch them. They'll be protected. Now, if you've been served and you need a miracle in your life, I want you to come forward and stand in front of me, if you would, please, as quickly as possible. Come, make your way to the altar. If you don't have a serious problem in your body, you're going to partake right where you're at. If you have a serious problem in your body, I want you to come forward. Stand right here, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. The rest of you will partake together in just a moment, but I really want to focus on these who need to be touched. You believe, look, if you've wrestled with diabetes your whole life, don't wrestle no more. Come on up here, get a revelation of this, and begin to see God move in your life. Let me share this with you. A lot of Christians lose heart because they don't get an instantaneous thing at the altar. They say, "Well, I don't know, I'll try it again next time." Please hear me very, very carefully. Jesus was so pure in who He was that everybody who came to Him, He healed every one of them. But when He left us in charge, He knew He was dealing with people that weren't like Him, you and I. So He told us that if we lay hands upon the sick, that they would recover, implies a period of time. I believe that communion over time will dissipate everything in your body and bring about. And here's the reason why. Is because the more you take communion, and I pray this every single night before I take it. I said, "Lord, give me a revelation of You." Remember, the Emmaus disciples talked with them for 7 miles on the way to their home. He expounded scriptures. I mean, and they said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us?" They knew something was different about this guy. Like Christians, we know when we hear the Word of God, it burns in our hearts. We know there's something different about Christianity, but yet we go through our whole life never having the revelation of who He is. And as soon as they found out who He was by their communion that He gave them, He was caught away again. He disappeared out of their sight. Why? Because we go right back into the faith mode again. Even though they see Him, you would not believe. It's faith. So I'm accepting what He said. By His stripes on His body, I am healed. And power is going to flow out of Him into me today. Out of Him into you today. Hold this in the air, if you would, please, the scraper. Say, "Lord Jesus, this is Your body. I'm going to ingest Your body into my body. You are perfect. You never sinned. You were never sick. You are the epitome of health, full of life. I'm taking Your life into my body. your health into my body. I am healed by your stripes. I thank you for the revelation of who you are. Explode that revelation into my heart today. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now, put in your mouth and feel the breaking of this. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your blood. Thank you, Lord, for your body. Thank you that by your stripes we're healed. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation flowing today. We expect miracles, signs, and wonders. We expect today to be a very special beginning in our life today. We commit to you. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Raise your cup if you would. Father, hallelujah. Say thank you, Lord, for your blood. Your perfect blood shed for me. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. I am a child of God, not by my righteousness, but by yours, your perfect blood. I exchange my impure blood for your perfect blood. I thank you, Lord, for forgiveness today and the cleansing power of your precious Spirit. In Jesus' name, let's partake together. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done today. I thank you, God, for the touch of my body today. I thank you, Lord, that I am healed by your stripes. I thank you, my God, that health and healing are inside of my body. I thank you that Jesus is on the inside of me. When I ingest him, Lord, I ingest your health. And I thank you, God, right now for the touch of your Spirit upon this place today. Today, a brand new day in the lives of all these people, Father. May the revelation of God begin to flow amongst them, Lord. Let them see the power of Almighty God working in their lives. I thank you, God, that many will awake even tomorrow and say, I don't know what happened. Something happened. Something's gone. Whatever that pain was, it is gone. Whatever that symptom I had is gone. And I thank you, God, right now in Jesus' name, that you healed them all. You healed them all. You healed them all in the name of Jesus. We give you glory for that, Father. Thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, we bless them right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we bless you, God. We bless you, God. We bless you, God. You're awesome. Hallelujah.